Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the GH Report, breaking down all the craziness that happens in Port Charles every single weekday on ABC. I'm Frank Moran.
Hey, and I'm Carla Renata.
As always, folks, like us on Facebook, give us 5 stars on iTunes, subscribe to the YouTube channel. And I know some of you are hopping the chat, but if you're just joining us now, make sure you join the conversation as well. Right, Carla?
Yes, and let me just give a big old shout out to everybody that's there. Joe Costanzo, Zoe Johnson, Tom Clev, Annie Goen, Marlon Wallace, Vista Trista 7, Andrew Stark. Thanks for that donation, Andrew Stark. Lori Cole, I said Loretta Johnson, I think. Lisa Wagner, P.I. Kelly, Public Cover, Amy, Dolores Leach, Giselle Pinard, Daisy Flower, Peter January, and Yasmin Seven. Welcome back, y'all.
Oh, thanks so much for joining us here, folks, on this Sunday afternoon. Folks, we're going to break down everything, but Carla, before we get into the detail that these fans crave, what did you think overall of this week?
It was nice to see an episode that wasn't fully reliant on flashbacks. I kind of like the way that they infiltrated the flashbacks this week. It helped to move the story along instead of taking us back, except for that one moment that I know you loved, Frank. I know you loved it. I know you loved that J-Sam moment with that music. Baby, just you and me. I know you loved it. I know you did.
That was a personal lowlight for the entire week. Oh, maybe the entire year so far.
I couldn't wait. I saw that. I said, oh, I know Frank is somewhere cringing right now. I knew that you were. Oh, it's making my face hurt. I'm laughing at you so hard. That was so funny to me. I loved every second of that.
But let me tell you that as soon as I saw that flashback happen, I was like, uh-oh, wait, no. Immediately got the remote. Boop, 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 boop,
boop, boop. See, I actually watched it in real time this week.
Oh!
So I was like, yes, Jay Sam. But what was really funny was you forget when you watch it every day, year after year after year, you forget how young they were when all of this started. And when the camera went back on them, you're like, wow, they've aged really well. But you forget how they look like little babies. That first one where he catches, what, the very first clip where he's with Sam. I'm like, wow, they look so young. And their little faces looked all fresh and baby face. It was cute. It was kind of cute. And then there was also the flashback thing that they did with Sonny and Mike, where he was, you know, going back, looking through Mike's life. And he had that moment where he said something about memories are the best part of us. It's what makes us who we are. That was really beautiful. What they're doing with that storyline, and I've said this a million times, I really love what they're doing with that storyline. They are taking their time with it. They're not rushing through it. They're not speeding, you know, jumping time with it. And when they do jump time with it, it's not like a huge gap in time. It's not like, you know, Mike went from being at Sonny's house to not wanting to eat and drink. You know what I mean? It was like it was a gradual move up to that point. And it makes you think about, if there are people in the chat that still have their own parents, it makes you think about that mortality, that, you know, being human means there's a mortality attached to it, and that, you know, your mom and your dad, they don't live forever, nor do you. And it just makes you kind of sit back and think about that for a second, especially during the time that we're living in right now. So my mind went there. I don't know, that's really dark and very prolific, but...
Well, for me, that is one thing that's great about the soap medium, is that when you do have those actors that are playing these characters for a long, long time, that those moments when you want to do flashbacks, it does really have an impact to really set up some emotional beats for story points you want to hit in the present day. As much as I can't stand those Jason things, it's always interesting to see them be able to have that, to kind of go like, yes, we've got all this great footage that we can use.
Yeah. My favorite clip was them jumping off of that thing. Remember when they jumped off of that? Oh, come on. You know that was a great moment. Stop it.
Oh, there's so many great moments. That's the only thing that's like kind of a bummer about the Sonny and Mike stuff is that since Max Gale wasn't the original actor, that was Ron Hale on the first time around, you're missing some of that really early stuff that would have been great to see from the 90s of those two characters together. So, better than nothing to see some of the stuff from like the nurse's ball and stuff, but the production is production. So you have to deal with what you've got, but it would have been in a world where, Ron Hale would have came back to reprise that role. The amount of footage that they would have had to really dive into that would have been great.
Yeah. Peter January. I just want to share this. Peter January in the chat said, my friend's dad had Alzheimer's and he forgot to eat or even swallow. So it's good that they are raising awareness with the storyline and showing that the body also forgets, not just the mind. Absolutely. I think they're doing a great job with it. I really do. So sad. Yeah. So moving on to some other things.
Oh, I just want to say, when Mike does say to Sonny, is it over yet? I'm just like, yeah, Mike's ready to go, guys. He's ready to go.
Yeah, and when Brooklyn is like, don't you think he meant something? Because she hears him say that. And she's like, don't you think he meant something else? And Sonny's like, no. Like, no. Like, what are you talking? I don't know what you're talking about. My heart breaks every time I see Maurice Bernard do those scenes. Because I'm wondering, as an actor, where is he going in order to make himself very vulnerable and make that whole situation real for him, because his parents are still here, you know what I mean? So I'm wondering where he's going to make that real for him, but whatever he's doing is working. But you know, it wouldn't matter if it wasn't working or not. I'm a Maurice Bernard fan, as we all know.
Did you enjoy the Friday flashback where we got to see inside part of Maurice Bernard's house?
Yes, I love that. I was all about it. But what I was really all about, okay, while are we on the subject of Maurice Bernard and Sonny, let's just talk about this for a second. So I noticed on Twitter, they did this little video homage to let you know that the house had been redecorated. I haven't heard them talk about that house being the living room being decorated. And maybe I missed that episode, but it was funny how one day, it was looking literally one day like the old house, and then the next day it was looking like the new house. And I was like, and the new house is fierce, but I was just like, well, okay.
Well, let's talk about that remodel for a hot second. Set aside, I mean, because I guess in the real world,
the kitchen.
It would take like, I'm going to guess like 6 to 8 months for an extensive remodel like that. So do you really want to see that in real time? Or, I mean, are things that you want to just...
No, I wouldn't want to see it in real time, but you're right. My god sister's having her kitchen remodeled, and it's taking forever because we're in the time that we're in right now. That's why I was looking at that like, okay, so we in shutdown. I guess they're not in shutdown at General Hospital just yet, but we in shutdown, so it's not going to take no one day to remodel a foyer. And a foyer and a whole living room. And I don't even know what they did upstairs, but at least it matched the kitchen.
It was the old version of their house, the living room and the foyer. That version seemed more kid friendly. Like this new version feels like it's the kind of redo you make when all the kids have gone to college and you guys have the place to yourselves. Like now they've got Donna, they got Avery. That is not like a kid-friendly living room down there at all.
I never even thought about it. See, that's the way somebody thinks that has kids. I didn't even think about that. What I wasn't having, though, is when you walk through that threshold and you just see a desk. Like Carly came through that threshold and it was like, desk! I was like, wow, really? Okay.
That's true. I mean, I guess the old version, it was tucked out to the side, so you never noticed it looking straight on in.
No, I'm like, oh, y'all, come on. What else are they talking about? Somebody said they have very fast redecorators. They had like Jetson redecorators. Like they are Bewitched redecorators. They came up in there and blinked their eyes and did a magic potion or something, and it was a new house. But having said all of that, I do like the new version better. It's nice.
But, you know, as much as we praise GH for treating Mike's declining health in a more, you know, realistic, time-accurate way, shouldn't house remodelings also deserve that same treatment as well? Don't we as fans deserve to see these fellow soap characters going through 8 months of hell as permits are coming through and
you know, I'm just gonna throw that out there that they did it for safety reasons. Just saying.
Well, speaking of children, Carla, I thought one of the interesting story beats this week was Valentine's conversation with Charlotte and realizing what his actions have done to the way his child sees the world.
Oh my God, the look on his face when he realized that his actions are what are causing her to act out and not in a good way was priceless. And I love that the director, who was a woman, by the way, I love that she let that camera just sit on his face that whole time that he was having that realization. Like Charlotte was talking, but we were looking at Valentine's face. I loved that. And what I'm afraid of is how they're making Charlotte into like a mini Heather Weber. Like, can we just not have her be like Heather Weber in a little girl form? I don't want her to be that. You know what I mean? But what I do love is that she, because remember we had that discussion a long time ago as to whether or not we thought she saw Valentine push Ava or not, and we really weren't quite sure because of the way they shot it and the way she reacted to it. So now we found out that she really did see it. And she was like, that's why she put the snake in Ava's purse. But I love how she tried to lie her way out of that. Like, she thought she had daddy wrapped around her finger. And he was like, look, don't lie to me. He point blank said, don't lie to me. And then she just kind of just let her guard down and was like, she's the reason you and mama aren't together. She's the reason y'all didn't get married. Like, she blames Ava and anybody else that is not Nina for them not getting married. But she only blames Nina to a point because she loves Nina. So even with Nina, she finds a way to forgive. And that speaks volumes, but I feel sorry for her as a little kid. Can you imagine having a parent like that, that's what your role model is going to be? That's why it's so important that he realized it and he went to Laura and was like, I need you to take care of her. So when he left, is he like, do we think he's gone for good? Is he not coming back?
No, I think he's still around. I just think that, like, is he still, you know, trying to pursue something with Nina? So I don't think he's off the show or off the canvas. I think he's just walking away from it for right now. What I did like, though, what I thought was interesting was that his first instinct to Charlotte when she does say that and tells him what she saw is to lie to her. It's like, oh, no, that's not what you saw. And I did like that Charlotte said, just shut that down. And we don't have Valentine trying to lie his way out of it.
Yeah.
Where with Nina, he would keep lying. And at least with Charlotte, after she said, no, that's not what I saw it, he stopped trying to lie and dealt with the issue at hand.
Because she saw it. See, with Nina, he could lie his way out of it because Nina never saw what he did. Right. Yeah. So Nina couldn't disprove anything that he was lying about. She all she could do was take his word for it. And she chose to take his word for it because she was in love with him, which most people do when they love somebody. They can lie to you until the cows come home. But because you love them, you're like, OK, I'll believe you. But in your gut is never wrong. And your gut and your that sixth sense will tell you that something is not quite right. And whenever you have that feeling that something is not quite right, it usually isn't. You know, it's not like you can wish it away. It's not like that feeling is going to go away because you want it to. If something is not quite right or somebody is not quite right, then and your gut is telling you that, you need to pay attention. You really need to pay attention. And his gut was telling him that she saw him. So there was no way he could lie his way out of this because she saw it with her own two eyes. He saw her standing there. So it's not like she said she saw it and he didn't see her see it. She was, he saw her standing there. So.
Yeah. On the flip side, we've got Lulu and Laura talking. And you know, man, Lulu, man, I just find her more and more unsympathetic as time goes on. You know, it's just so frustrating, you know, for her, especially as we talked about last week with Maxie's viewpoint about comparing Valentina and Charlotte to Lulu and Luke, which I thought was really a great vantage point for that relationship, that Lulu has no awareness of that, that I feel like she needs to be called out on that. But also that she's so adamant about like keeping Valentina away from Charlotte, not realizing how important, you know, for whatever bad Valentina has done to many people, his love for Charlotte is a pure thing.
It's unmatched, yeah. That's the one good thing you can say about him, that regardless of what goes down, he really does have Charlotte's best interest at heart.
I like that that Charlotte called out Lulu. It's like, I know as soon as I leave the room, you start trash talking, Dad. You start trash, and I hear it. I know you, so stop lying.
Yep. That was that was kind of everything, too, because it's like, ooh.
Yeah,
all
and,
right.
And again, Lulu, first thing she does is like, oh, no, it's not like that. And Charlotte just shutting that down, like, no, see, you're doing it right now. Stop it.
I can't. But what I really want to get into is the Nell and Nina situation. They keep showing that locket. Like, when is Nell going to figure out that Nina's her mom? When is she going to figure it? I need for that to happen. I really need for that to happen because I really need to see how that's going to impact this whole custody situation between Nell and Michael. And speaking of the custody situation, I got to tell you, I've never been a big fan of Willow and Chase ever. And they were just starting to grow on me when this little scheme that they cooked up was hatched. But I have to say that the brother that's playing Chase, he did his thing with that scene. That scene that he had with Michael, and Michael pushed him before he left. I was like, I thought Michael was going to deck him. I'm kind of glad that Michael didn't deck him and that he just pushed him, because I felt like Michael wouldn't deck Chase. Michael, that would be as much physical exertion that he would throw toward Chase's direction as pushing him, because just like he still has, just like he knows Sonny does what he does and Jason does what he does, I feel like deep down inside, Michael knows that Chase didn't really cheat on Willow. I feel like he really does know that. And that's why he didn't push him. I might be stretching the truth there. I might be. But that's what I'm feeling like, because I felt like he just didn't accept it. But I do feel like there was that moment where Sasha and Chase was talking about, you know, how they felt about what they were doing. And when Sasha said, you know, 3 years from now, Willow's going to be madly in love with Michael, and that's going to be it. And so I'm wondering if, you know, this is going to set up Sasha to finally leave Port Charles.
I mean, I would hope not. The fact that they're getting Sasha at least involved in deception to give her something else to work on as well. So I'm hoping that means she's around. I mean, but I could also see it going the other way too, that Sasha could just like, yeah, I don't need to do deception work here in Port Charles. I can be in Connecticut. I can be elsewhere and do the same work. So, I mean, it could be, I'd hate to see her go. I've enjoyed having her on the show.
Me too. I really like her.
I don't know. I still have a tough time like that they thought that this was really going to convince these two. Like, oh yeah, guys. Yep. It's been going on for a little while. We've been making out.
Willow was all about it. But then there was that moment. But then there was this too. There was that realization moment in Charlie's when Willow and Michael were talking, where they realized that neither Chase nor Sasha wanted to be a parent. And I was like, ooh, I forgot. That was good on GH Writer's part, because I had forgotten about that. I had forgotten about those moments where they individually said to their respective partners at some point in time that, you know, I'm not ready, but you know, if that's what you want, then that's what I'll do. And I remember that awkwardness that happened between Willow and Chase when she had that pregnancy scare. He was not having it. He was not happy about being a papa. He was not having that at all. So when she found out that she wasn't, he was so relieved. I was like, wow. And I'm like, this is going to be a game. And I remember thinking in that moment, this is going to be a game changer for both of them. the fact that he reacted the way that he did. Like, she's never going to forget that. It's going to be lurking in the background somewhere. And sure enough, it was.
Ah, but still, I mean, you know, not everybody reacts like you see more often in home pregnancy test commercials. We're like, oh, I'm pregnant. And the guy's like, yeah.
You did not say like in home pregnancy test commercials.
Right.
Well, no, I mean, because that would be a commercial. But, you know, I don't know. I guess some people are ecstatic when they find out that they're about to be a family. Some people react adversely, not because they don't want a child, but because it's scary. It's scary that you're going to have this whole fully formed human being that you are now responsible for. You have to feed them. You have to clothe them. You have to teach them right from wrong. You pray and you hope that no one hurts them or harms them, that when they, you know, get older and they have to go out into the world, that they're able to do it with little to no incident. That's a lot of stress and strife and responsibility for one human being. And I'm not a parent, but I am somebody's daughter. And I watched how my mother would, you know, freak out about me. And I wasn't in the same, and imagine being a parent and then your kid isn't even in the same state with you. So it's not like you can hop in your car and drive over and help them out. They're a plane ride away. So, I mean, I get why he had the reaction that he did. So no, not every reaction is like a commercial. You're absolutely right.
Boy, if only one thing we can ask the viewers of the GH Report to take away today. Wow.
Yeah, it would be that.
All right. So, I mean, what do you think happens with the storyline? I mean, I guess it plays that the Wiley, Michael and Will are going to get married. Whether that, I still think even knowing that this breakup, and even though Michael and Willow might believe that that's the case, and they're like, okay, we might as well get married because why not? I still think they're going to have an incredibly hard time selling this in court.
I don't know. It depends on, you know, of course it's going to depend on who the judge is. With like it does anything at GH. But you know what else is hilarious is, other than that storyline, there's the moment where Diane sets Alexis up to meet with Sam, and Alexis just has like a vomit reaction confession about everything. She admits that she drank. She admits that she lied under oath. She admits that she slept with Neil, and Diane and Sam are like, ooh, really? What? Huh? Huh? What? I'm like, oh, y'all are killing me. I can't.
But what I like about that is that that we got to see the great Carolyn Hennessy stay for that entire scene. It wasn't like she just set
she
it up.
Popped and in and
like,
popped out.
I gotta go. And they're like, no, you're staying. You started this. You're going to see it out. So I'm glad that she was there for the entire thing.
Yeah, that was kind of cool.
But do you even care about like the whole Neil and Alexis thing, that Neil's on, you know, his license is suspended and Alexis is waiting here from the bar? I find myself not caring.
I actually do care, because they revved up that relationship and revved up to that hearing, and then they kind of dropped it. And it's like a lot of storylines that happened when the stay at home order happened. A lot of storylines got dropped or pushed to the side because they didn't know how to deal with it. Because remember when we saw Neil had like all this facial hair, I was like, this must have been at least a good week or two in of the stay at home order, because homeboy was like, he was giving you Billy Goat gruff. I was like, what's happening?
Look at that guy. Yeah,
you're not giving Billy Goat gruff. At least yours has some type of a semblance to it. My man on General Hospital was giving you Billy Goat gruff. It was black. It was patchy black and gray. It was like some parts was out to here. Some parts was here. Like, it was a lot going on.
Well, his practice has been suspended, Carla. He doesn't have the mental bandwidth to focus on grooming his face.
Look, all I'm saying is, he was looking like Billy Goat Gruff. That's all I'm saying. But as far as caring about the storyline, I cared about the storyline. I wanted to see how it was going to play out. I also want to see how it's going to play out with Cyrus and Julian, because Cyrus is in Charlie's when he gets the phone call from Jason saying that the meeting is off, because obviously Sonny is with Mike. Jason can't tell him that because then he'll use that weakness to get back at Sonny, right? So as, but I love how when he kept talking, Jason just hung up in his,
yeah,
it's right. Like, click, click. I was like, oh. And then Carly was like, you can't just be doing that. You can't just make decisions like that. And Jason full on was like, well, he wouldn't stop talking.
Ugh.
Like his realization for that is that, well, he just wouldn't stop talking.
I found the thing that frustrated me about that scene was when they brought out Donna. And then they used that as a plot to talk about each other.
I love that, though. It was cute. I kind of love that part.
But I also feel like that is...
they used her as a prop.
Yeah, like, oh, here you go. There's a prop. I'm just going to talk at you, but I'm really talking to Jason. I feel like we've heard these people so many times. So I'm like, ugh, okay, again, I know how much these two care about each other. Another round again about why they do, which, I mean, maybe that's pretty, because I'm dead inside. And human emotion frightens and confuses me. Maybe it is great to be able to tell people you truly care about on a more regular basis how much you do care about them. I don't know how to do that, and I've never done it, so I can't relate to that.
What did they, let me see what they said. Oh, somebody said it would be okay if Chase and Sasha got together since now Dumb and Dumber deserve each other. Ooh, Annie. And then Michael B. said, it's not like Willow and Michael don't know each other. It's possible that they could pull it off. And then he was like, I don't care. Michael B. is hilarious. But this is the thing. We've always said that they were going to hook up. I think you and I have always said that at some point Willow and Michael were going to hook up because they had that connection when they were going to those grief counseling sessions. So we've always said since day one, they always had chemistry, right?
Yeah.
Since day one. So I'm really not surprised that they got there. To flip back to something else that happened.
Well, one thing I want to ask you real quick before we go there, and it goes back to Neil and Alexis. Joe Flanagan, I love him as an actor. I really enjoy him. I feel, and I don't know what you think about my lack of investment in them as a couple is if you look at like Julian and Alexis, Julian was around on canvas long before he and Alexis got together.
I mean, Julian had kids there though. Like he's connected because of his children, you know? So it was in because of what's her name? There was somebody else he was connected to in Port Charles whose name is escaping me. Bobby, right? So I was going to say Bobby, but I didn't want to be wrong. I knew it was somebody else. But he was there because of that connection. So it was, I didn't have a problem with Julian because Julian had he had the Sonny connection. He had the Bobby connection. He had all these different connections in Port Charles. Alexis was somebody that came into his orbit simply by virtue of what they were dealing with at the time. So I didn't have a problem with that. Neil just kind of popped up and showed up out of nowhere. He didn't have any connection to anybody in Port Charles. You know, he didn't know anybody there before he got there, other than his so-called colleagues, which would be Kevin, right? So I can understand why, as a viewer, you're like, I don't really care. I understand that.
Which is a shame because I do like him as an actor. And so I would be down if they wanted to give him more to do on the show. But it's just like, it's tough right now with knowing so little. It's so hard to get invested, I think, in Neil as a character.
I think they wrote him into a corner. You know what I mean? They wrote him into a corner, and I think they probably had every intention of writing him out when everything happened. And so they didn't have the opportunity to fully flesh out that storyline. They were just kind of, you know, doing with people whatever they could do under the circumstances. I mean, think about it. Those writers, they have a really hard job ahead of them. How are they? I have the utmost respect for them, because this is, I don't know how you would handle a situation like this. And it's one thing to be in this situation if you've been there before, but we've never experienced this before. They've never experienced this before. So it's a whole different ball game, you know? And it makes you wonder what the future of soaps is going to be.
You know, I mean, it certainly is a habit. And I mean, it's easy to break a habit if you don't have that thing around you. So, I mean, I feel like the biggest concern is without original content, as opposed to flashback episodes or however they want to try to repurpose their theme weeks, which I know Young and the Restless are going to be doing theme weeks. So, which, I mean, I guess I'd be down to see some GH do some theme weeks or, you know, replay a whole week of a climax of a great storyline. But I'd be down for that. But if it goes until, you know, we don't see new programming until September, I mean, 3 months of Encores is going to be rough.
Well, a friend of mine, and I can't say what network they work for, but I spoke with a friend of mine that works at one of the major top three networks, and they were telling me that their stay-at-home order has been extended through the end of this year. And they were told that they are not bringing anybody back to work. And this person's in New York, that they're not bringing anybody back to work until there's a vaccine. So if that network is doing that, I don't know what the other two are doing, but I'm just saying it's not looking promising.
Wow.
She said they had that meeting this week.
That's rough. I mean, there are so many moving parts in any workforce that I feel like, you know, there's going to be so many employees that are going to feel perhaps rightfully that until there's a vaccine, that they can go to work with complete confidence that nothing will happen to them. It's going to be a tough ask as many people come back ahead of time.
No, I feel like, and I'm not mad at those bosses. I feel like they need, because the biggest problem is they figured out somewhat how it's being spread, but they haven't figured out how to stop it from being spread. And then once somebody gets it, how to kill the virus once and for all. It will happen. It happened with the flu. It happened with SARS. It happened with the common cold. You know, they found vaccines and things to happen to head it off. Like, I think with the flu vaccine, they actually inject you with the flu to make you sick for a minute to help your body ward it off is what I think happens. So I'm sure that they will come up with something in that regard, too. It's just that unlike these other situations, they had lots and lots of time to figure it out. And because our economy is where it is, they feel like they don't have the time. But I would rather these fools take the time and figure it out than not. You know what I mean? I mean, living.
I guess I'm going to catch to it as well. That's true. But that'll be the question about seeing if it does go until late the fall, or even to beginning of next year, or even, heaven forbid, till they get a vaccine. I wonder about...
They said 12 to 18 months, remember, in the beginning. That's what they said. So I don't know. But back to General Hospital.
Yeah. But back to General Hospital, I mean, do you want to just see, you know, like a theme week dealing around in the Ice Princess and seeing some of the climactic storyline of that?
Yeah, I mean, I think what they should do is they should poll the viewers and the fans about what favorite storylines we would like to see. And then that should dictate what their programming is going to be. Because in that way, they're not just haphazardly throwing stuff up. And then the fans are like, ugh, why are you showing that? Like we did with the flashbacks. Because you've seen that they've kind of curbed that flashback situation based upon what fans were saying.
No, I mean, that's true. Speaking of the flashbacks, though, can we just talk about a second how lackluster the Flashback Friday selections have been? Oh, man.
I kind of tune in for a second to the Flashback Friday selections, and then I don't. And then it's hard for me to catch it afterwards, because what happens here in Southern California is at 2 o'clock is when it comes on here in L.A., sometimes I tune on at 2 o'clock and I can catch it and play it all the way through. And sometimes I can't because they decide they want to talk for 3 and 4 hours about the coronavirus. So I'm just like, oh, that is exhausting.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I feel like if you're gonna do a Flashback Friday, let's really go a little bit back in the time machine. Like these ones that are like less than a year old or a year old. I'm like,
Yeah, somebody was saying they should show some of the Love in the Afternoon stuff. Remember that?
Yeah.
That was kind of cool. That's a good suggestion, Michael B. I'd be down for that. Yeah. What I'd really be down for is to see them do some of them old nurses' balls. I'm like, they got more than 50 of them. So just like, you know, show that. Because I think that is hella entertaining. And it would at least make us laugh. Because people need to laugh. You need to laugh.
Yeah, there are some.
And I think at least some of that stuff would make us laugh. You know?
True. Some you'd enjoy, some like many of the like Kurtz performances I'd be down for, but there are also many performances that I'm just like, ooh. Once was enough.
I know. Oh, there's one thing I wanted to bring up really, really fast before we hop up out of here is Peter blurting out that Maxie asked him to marry her, and Robert Scorpio catching Spinelli in Maxie's apartment snooping, doing the same thing he was doing, and the fact that he got that out of nowhere news about Holly dying. Like, I felt like that was so out of left field, didn't you?
Well, I mean, you figure that's Peter's distraction, so he's got something to do with Holly supposedly being dead, whether she's really dead or she's been taken hostage. Who knows what the deal is? What I did like, though, is that when Scorpio busts Spinelli coming in, Scorpio had no time to even look at the apartment before the doorknob started opening. So But they had their little conversation, and then Robert says, "Oh, there's nothing to find here." Like, when? You never looked. You never even looked.
Right? That's what I was like, what is happening? I don't understand. What is going on? I don't understand. That was killing me. Killing me. I said, I don't understand what's happening right now.
Because what do you know what they would have found in there, Carla? You know what they would have found. And I posted this on Twitter. That they would have found the Colonel's secret recipe tucked away. So that's how you know they didn't do a big look around it or anything.
Stop it. Stop it with you and the Colonel's secret recipe. I cannot.
It is there. It exists in that apartment. So I really wanted this. I want to see Spinelli and Scorpio find it going, holy cow, what do we do?
Thank you so much right now. You are terrible. Oh my God. What do you see happening for next week, though?
Well, before I say that, I will say I did find Anna's reaction to the Peter blurting out that he's gonna like thinking about marrying Maxine or Maxie. Like, Anna, why are you so? Would you? Huh? I'm like, oh, come on, please.
Yeah, that was a little overkill. I agree with you on that. I was like, okay, y'all are killing me right now.
Please give me the smart and capable and confident Anna Devane that I, where did she go? I missed her. I really have missed her.
She's on vacation.
Oh.
She took a sabbatical.
I mean, I feel like we only have maybe 2 weeks left of original content. So I'll be curious to see if we get to the actual court, the trial for the child custody. Before things go down.
I don't think we're going to get to it. I hope we do, but that's the frustrating thing. Even if we do, we're not really going to get to see how it plays out, right?
That's. I mean, I guess if you knew you didn't have any more original content and it's going to be a few months, do you end it on a cliffhanger for the reveal and just like, all right, you're going to have to come back?
They would have to. They would have to. Like, what else are they going to do?
Like, even if you'd shot an extra day where it had the reveal, do you hold on to that reveal episode?
Yeah.
Because you got it.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. You have to. Because if this is the thing. If they do the reveal and we know how it's going to play out, then we don't even know what other storylines are being set up for us to watch, right? So if they hold on to that reveal, at least that keeps us going, well when are we going to find out? When are we going to find out? That's what I say.
Yeah.
That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
I love it, Carla Renata. Folks, we may as well call this the time of death of this episode of the JH Report, 6:55 on a Sunday night. Thanks for joining us. So, as always, like us on Facebook. Give us those 5 stars on iTunes. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Thank you, everybody, for hopping in the chat. But if you want to stay
Thanks
in touch
so with much.
Carla or myself, Carla, where can I find you?
You guys, you can find me across all social media platforms at The Curvy Critic. You can find me right before the GH Report over at Black Hollywood Live with my own show, The Carla Renata Report. the Kirby yes! Critic with Carla, the Kirby Critic with Carla Renato, where I do film reviews. You can find all of my written reviews at thekirbyfilmcritic.com. And I'll be back over to KTTV Fox 11 as soon as everything is going back to normal.
That's awesome. Please do start a show called the Carla Renato Report.
Oh, no. Hell no. Oh, and I almost forgot. Insecure. I'll be here tomorrow for the Insecure after show at 2 o'clock. So come back to After Buzz at 2 o'clock tomorrow.
Okay, it could be that hard-hitting Carla Renata investigative journalism. That could be the Carla Renata Report. Just getting telling folks what's really going on.
Hail to the no. Where can they find you, my brother?
Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at HappyGoJackie. I'm going to work after we're done on making Carla do the Carla Renata Report. You know, what's really in your children's hot dogs? Find out on the next Carla Renata Report.
Stop, you making my face hurt. I hate you so much right now. Oh my God.
Folks, that's going to do it for this episode of the JH Report. We'll be back here next Sunday night with an all new episode right here on AfterBuzz TV.
Bye, y'all.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.